It's Free Talk Live, and it is the live Sunday edition of the program. As always, you're invited to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm, so feel free to join us there. With you in the studio tonight, it's Ian,
Richie Rich,
and Melanie.
All right, so lots of stuff to talk about here, and we're going to start with your story tonight, Melanie. I mean, you didn't write this, but it's from Vice. You brought it in to share with us about feminism and the family. So what is it that we need to know? Apparently they want to abolish families now?
Yeah, so the title of the article is "We Can't Have a Feminist Future Without Abolishing the Family."
And this is serious.
Yeah, they're not wrong. They just went the other way with that than I would.
What do they have to
they're not wrong?
No, they're not wrong.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm going to have to hear this because I just don't even understand what families have or don't have to do with feminism. What is it, the connection or why?
Well, if you have to stay home and raise your kids, then you can't go try to be CEO of Shell Oil.
Oh, but wait.
Even though you have no experience or...
But wait, haven't they ever heard of Mr. Mom? I mean, where the dad stays home?
Well, no, but then you're just trying to feminize men, see, and make them take that role. We want to be all equal.
What about same-sex couples? Could one not stay home and, one female of a lesbian couple stay home while the other one runs Shell Oil?
I don't know.
Would that be too masculine for the CEO?
Maybe this article was just, what do you call it, gay-phobic or whatever.
Oh, yeah, okay. Homophobic?
Yeah, that.
Gay-phobic.
I don't know.
It works. All right, so what's the story? Go ahead.
Yeah, so... They say, a little more than 2 weeks before I planned to meet the feminist theorist Sophie Lewis, her mother died. She had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in March, requiring Lewis to travel back and forth between her home in Philadelphia and a hospital in the UK, a journey she technically wasn't allowed to make due to the pending status of her green card. But it's UK, so they don't really care that much in my experience.
For the green card?
Yeah.
Oh, they're Brexit now, so they need everything to get in and out of that country.
No, but from... To the U.S.
Oh, okay.
When her mother passed away late in November, she did so thousands of miles away while Lewis and her brother sang the Taylor Swift song Safe and Sound to her over Skype. I don't know what that song's about.
Me neither. Must have meant something to them, though.
I guess. Earlier that month, at a lecture in Lower Manhattan hosted by the arts journal Eflux, Lewis, who is 31, reflected on what some might see is an obvious irony in her crisscrossing the ocean to care for her ailing mother. Verso Books had just published her first book, Full Surrogacy Now, a polemic that calls for abolishing the family. It says, 2019, in addition to its more general geopolitical ghoulishness, has been a difficult one for this particular family abolitionist.
A polemic is a controversial argument. So, just so you know.
Okay.
I didn't know what it was. I had to look it up. But I knew how it was pronounced.
I usually do the opposite.
Yeah.
Because I could read and look up words, but I don't necessarily hear anything.
I think Jeffrey Tucker once said, don't make fun of people who mispronounce words because they learned it by reading as opposed to hearing it.
Okay.
So it's not necessarily a sign of unintelligence because they're readers.
I wasn't making fun.
No, I'm just saying.
Okay, just to clarify. Yeah. So, okay, so who wrote this article that was controversial? The woman whose mother died
okay. While the mother was in the UK and the woman was in the US.
And the irony is that she had to take care of the, or was trying to take care of the mother, while at the same time writing a book to abolish the family's life.
I see. Okay, got it. Tell me more.
Lewis told the audience of about 24, it's been surreal because the temporal coincidence of the full surrogacy launch with this unprecedented requirement for me that I be at my closest bio relative's bedside, her words, brought the stakes of my subject matter to life with almost unbearable intensity.
It's quite a sentence.
I don't know. That's a pretty harsh, I don't know what this woman's mother did.
So she's saying she didn't want to be there with her mom? Is that what she's saying? She didn't. She was there, but she didn't want to be?
No, she's just like acknowledging that that's ironic.
It sounds like the opposite. Oh, okay. She wanted to be there after saying
after writing this book.
After writing the book saying like, yeah, no, you shouldn't. Right? Like what was the term?
Bio-relative?
My closest bio-relative.
Yeah. Like, oh, she's not my mom. She's my bio-relative.
Which is the most sanitized way to possibly say that. Like,
Aren't all relatives bio-relatives?
Oh, you could have step-relatives.
No, you could have, you could have adoptive relatives.
Okay.
The book and its core premise has gained widespread attention from leftist publications like Jacobin and The Nation all the way to Fox News' Tucker Carlson, who dedicated a June segment on his primetime show to tearing it down. Recently, the columnist David Brooks declared in The Atlantic that, quote, the nuclear family was a mistake. The piece inspired a niche version of a popular Drake meme with a singer shaking his head in disapproval at Brooks' column in one frame and smiling at full circus he now in the next.
What's the alternative to the nuclear family? Like, what's...
Because full on pure communism.
Okay. Well, I don't.
And they admit that later on.
I don't agree or disagree that the nuclear family is a mistake, because you can have a very disruptive nuclear family, very abusive, right? And in that case, probably a mistake, right? There's probably a better familial situation to put you in.
Well, that doesn't mean the nuclear family was a mistake. That probably just means you should pick your partners better. But it has nothing that, like, so if you have a employee who never shows up, that doesn't mean the concept of employees is a mistake.
Do I not know what the nuclear family was? I thought that was like a mom, dad, and 2.4 kids or something like that.
Yeah,
just mom and
the
dad,
parents
and the kids.
And the kids.
Yeah.
Okay, but I thought it had to be like two kids for it to be a nuclear family.
No.
There's no limit on the number of children?
No.
So nuclear just means mom and dad and kid or kids?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it doesn't seem like to call that a mistake is like calling evolution a mistake. I mean, it wasn't a choice that most people made to have children. It, you know, they just have sex and kids come out of that. You know,
right.
Some people intend to have children. Plenty of people have no intention whatsoever. They just wanted to get their rocks off, and they ended up with kids. Now, what percentage of kids are planned versus unplanned? I don't know, but I suspect a large portion of children are completely unplanned. So the nuclear family is just the sort of the natural way of things. It's not a mistake.
Well, natural in some respects, because in like child rearing in olden times, right, was partially the responsibility of grandparents, because mm-hmm. they were still around to help the
right,
mother.
In the olden times, grandparents were a little bit, people got older at younger ages, if that makes any sense. So they weren't still, you know, young and living their life. They were decrepit and being taken care of, and so yeah, they stayed at the house and stayed for free and provided some child care.
Yeah.
I don't know how widespread that was historically, though.
All right, so Camel Toe in our chat room says the nuclear family means no grandparents or other relatives living in the same house, like culture for thousands of years beforehand. Okay, so then the nuclear family is something that is specific to certain cultures, because there are in some places, I think Europe is sort of known for having families live together, at least to some extent. At least that's what I've heard. I've never actually lived there, but that's what I've heard. It's a more economical choice. Hawaii as well. Yeah, it's a more economical choice for people. It's sensible.
Yeah, I don't think that the nuclear family, quote, prohibits you having your grandparents live there.
That's what Camel Toe said. So
yeah, and even if it did somehow, which I disagree with that statement, but even if that was the case, nobody's arguing for kicking your grandparents out. They're arguing for completely dissolving society. So,
we haven't gotten to that yet. But I would like to hear
that.
I'd like to hear that part. We haven't gotten there yet. So we'll share that with you coming up here. Vice is against the family.
The nuclear family.
Are they just against the nuclear family, or are they against all family? Toll-free number here is 855-450-FREE. Melanie will share that with us. 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want. Take control of the airwaves here. This is Free Talk Live. It It's Free Talk Live. You may join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. And I do want to welcome our brand newest radio affiliate, WAIM Radio, 1230 AM in Anderson, South Carolina, welcoming
Sweet.
Them as our newest Sunday night affiliate. And they are a live affiliate, so if you're in Anderson, welcome to the show. As I understand it, we might have been on for the last week or so, but I just got informed that that they are on board now, and so... Good to have you out there. If you are new to this program, as many of you probably are, you've probably already figured out that we're not quite your typical talk radio program. We're not hosted by liberals or conservatives. We're libertarians. We're people that love freedom, voluntarists. Some might describe themselves as anarchists.
I'll take it.
You will.
I am.
There
and,
you go.
Okay. I'm in the minority tonight as the only voluntarist in the room.
I'll use that term too, by the way.
Oh, no, I don't identify that way, but it is an accurate descriptor of myself.
I see. You like the controversial description.
Well, I think that there is a little bit of a divide in other areas for people who pick one term or the other. So I use the term that fits me better, but it's not inaccurate.
So we're talking about the family tonight. So a story from Vice Magazine or Vice News or whatever they're called, vice.com. That is criticizing the idea of the family, and we've just barely scratched the surface of it. We'll get into it further here. And are you 100% sure you're going to have a great retirement, or do you have some doubt about that? Tom Young is the author and founder of the CFO Project, and he can show you how to be debt-free in 9 years or less, including your mortgage, without spending a single dollar more. With the current state of the federal debt at $23 trillion and the unfunded liabilities at $127 trillion, you can't wait to take control of your money. Don't let your retirement savings be used to bail out the government. Instead of building a plan, Tom can show you how to create strategies now to save money without penalties and as little government involvement as possible. His new book, The Family Money Farm, The CFO Project, will show you exactly how to build wealth and eliminate debt at the same time. Get your free copy now at cfo-project.com. Invest in yourself and your family today. Get your free copy of The Family Money Farm, The CFO Project at cfo-project.com. So, Melanie, continue with Vice.com and what apparently is going to be an attack on the family. Just to summarize, the story has been about a woman who is an author. She wrote a book that is anti-family. She had her mother die, and she ended up going to the hospital to be at her side at the end.
Yeah, across the ocean, yes.
And that's sort of where we're starting here.
Yeah, so then he said that the nuclear family was a mistake. The piece inspired a niche version of a popular Drake meme with a singer shaking his head in disapproval at Brooks' column in one frame and smiling at full surrogacy now in the next. That seems a little bit contradictory to me, but okay. I gave up after 2 minutes, admittedly.
Gave up after 2 minutes. What did she give up after 2 minutes?
It doesn't say. Okay. But let it be known that I... Incredulous started reading it. Lewis tweeted of the Atlantic piece, like, have we
the counter article.
David Brooks? I don't know.
She read like 2 minutes of the counter argument.
Somebody who wrote an article against
against the book.
Apparently didn't have enough space in Twitter to write the full sentence.
Okay.
When Lewis demands full surrogacy now, she isn't talking about commercial surrogacy or surrogacy trademark, as she puts it. Instead, she uses the surrogacy industry to build the argument that all gestation is work because of the immense physical and emotional labor it requires of those who do it. She often refers to pregnancy as an extreme sport. I mean, you know, we used to have a setup to deal with that fact, but y'all wanted to go and abolish it, so.
This is bizarre. The way that she's reading it, it almost kind of reminds me of the movie Demolition Man. Right, where like no one has sex, babies are just like made in the lab somewhere. Like, oh, your job function is the surrogate. You're the person in society that makes the babies for everyone else to adopt, kind of thing.
I love Demolition Man. It's a great movie.
It is a great movie. But that's what this is reminding you of, right? Like the surrogates having the babies as opposed to the family structure creating their own.
So wait, she advocating for surrogacy? Is that
no? She's using that, I guess, kind of as a metaphor. Like, she doesn't think that we should, she doesn't presumably think that we should just go make all babies in a lab and use, like, literal surrogates. but she's using that, according to her, to point out that having kids is work.
I mean, it doesn't sound like an easy task. I mean, it does seem kind of burdensome to have a child, so.
I mean, we used to have a setup where you would get compensated for that, so.
You mean as a surrogate? Or
as
a mom
someone having, well, as a mom.
How would a mom get compensated for having a child?
Well, you would have a husband, and he would, like, bring you money.
Oh, okay, well, that's...
The family provider.
Gotcha. Okay.
If all forms of pregnancy count as work, we can take a clear-eyed look at our current working conditions. It is a wonder we let fetuses inside us, she says at the start of her book. Which is not how that works, okay? It's not like you're not just like laying one bed in one day and like a fetus just crawls into your
how did that happen?
Bedroom and it's like you're sleeping and the fetus just crawls up in there. It's like, no, you made it. You actually created it.
Not only does the stork deliver the fetus, it inserts it as well.
Citing the roughly 1,000 people in the United States who still die as a result of pregnancy and childbirth each year, mostly poor women and women of color, which tells me the poor part anyway, that that's more of a patient compliance issue than it is a medical technology issue.
You mean the patient's not doing what they're told?
Yeah, whether because they can't or... I mean, because when they tell you things like, okay, don't lift anything over 20 pounds from here on out, and you have a job you have to go to,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to do that, right? Or if okay. they tell you to buy a medicine that you can't afford.
That makes sense.
The situation is social, not simply, quote, natural. I mean, actually, the natural death rate in childbirth is a lot higher than that.
You mean in less developed nations?
Well, either in less developed nations or historically before modern medicine.
Well, right.
It's really high. Humans are really, really bad at it. We evolved sapience before we evolved breeding out people who can't give birth well.
Mm-hmm.
Things are like this for political and economic reasons. We made them like this. Well, yeah, we made them like they are, but
the we as a society?
That was an improvement, yes.
Okay.
That was an improvement on the original condition. It's a large improvement on the original condition. Yeah. There's 300 million people in the U.S.
Right. They said only 1,000 die from complications every year?
Yeah.
So how many millions of babies are born every year, you know?
Yeah, that sounds like less than 1% to me. I haven't...
Yeah, so I can look into it. Go ahead.
And so... We can also make them different, Lewis argues. She imagines a future where the labor of making new human beings is shared among all of us, quote, mother, no longer being a natural category, but instead something we can choose. So there's this meme with this girl who posted, I wish we could choose our baby daddies. And then somebody's responding to her.
I've seen it.
Somebody talked to her because I'm about to hurt her feelings.
Because you can.
And that's kind of how this sentence makes me feel.
By the way, 3.79 million live births in the United States in the year 2018, estimated. So the toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. So yeah, 1,000 is way less than 1% of that. There's more coming up. You can join us, 855-450-FREE. Have you heard of LibertyCon? LibertyCon is not only a convention with great speakers like Whole Foods CEO and co-founder John Mackey and Nobel Prize winner Vernon Smith, but it's also unique because you get a chance to network with more than 70 pro-liberty organizations, one-on-one for the purpose of career advancement, business, and internship opportunities. April 3rd through 5th in Washington, D.C. You can learn more by visiting LibertyCon.com and use code FTL for a $10 discount on your registration. That's LibertyCon.com. It's Free Talk Live. You're invited here to join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Abolishing the family. That's the proposal by somebody over at Vice Magazine. Now, there's the author of the Vice story, which is different from the author that the Vice story is talking about, right?
Yes.
Okay, because it's kind of a confusing mess of a story so far. It's hard to kind of follow what's actually being
said
here.
For an author,
it's
very poorly written.
Yeah. So I'm glad we were able to stop down and kind of talk about it here as it goes on. We're going to continue with that. But also, I want you to know the next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to spend, earn, store, and exchange digital money in seconds. Divvy says you'll be able to send money around the globe in only a swipe and instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat currencies like the dollar right in their mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. There's no need to wait, though, as Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with their multi-tiered masternodes, allowing anyone to earn by supporting the Divvy network. When the new Divvy wallet launches, because of Divvy's relationship with Western Union, Divvy will be in 200 countries, including the United States. You can learn more at DivvyProject.org. That's DivvyProject.org. We're going to go to the phones here because you can call in about anything you want, but Melanie will continue with the piece that you brought in here tonight in moments. Jerome is on the line in South Carolina listening to WTMA in Charleston. Hello, Jerome.
Yes. I heard that they're going to have a debate here. I heard it through the grapevine. I don't know how true it is or not, but I heard that Gayle King's going to be doing an interview with Tim Scott.
Who?
You know, the black Republican in the Senate. Never heard of him.
I don't pay attention to politicians. I don't care about
them.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, right. Right. You don't vote either, right?
No. I vote on like local elections. Richie doesn't vote. I don't know about Melanie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pay attention to elections in places I don't live and can't vote in.
Yeah, I find politicians to be despicable, so I tend not to pay attention to anything they do. During an election season like, you know, the presidential election, it's inevitable that we're going to hear about some of this stuff. But, yeah, don't expect me to know any of these political names. Go ahead.
Well, hey, you were talking about politicians. I've heard them I've heard them speak very highly of talk show hosts, too. You know what?
They wouldn't speak highly of this show.
There's no elected representative that would speak highly of us.
Yeah, we tend to despise politicians here on Free Talk Live, so I doubt that many of them would speak highly of us if they knew we existed.
Coach 2020, man.
I was joking, okay? It was a joke.
Gotcha. Sorry.
But the other, I just want her to know. I don't want her to do like one of them softball kind of deals like they did with Trump in the Senate, okay? Where they don't have any witnesses, no testimony, no documents. We just go along with what the guy in the White House tells us to do, okay? I want her to call him out just like she called out R. Kelly. And R. Kelly, the entertainer.
So, sorry, you're saying you want her to call him out?
This is the reporter that's going to be interviewing the politician.
But who is it? Who's the reporter?
Gayle King. She's Oprah's friend. You know who she is.
Nope.
No, I'm sorry. I've heard of Oprah.
Man,
I know who she is.
Is she local? Is she local to the Carolinas, or is she like a national talk show?
She's like, she works for CBS early, their early show.
Okay, I don't get up.
You
got to
get up more often.
I don't watch television either.
You're younger than me.
That's true.
Look, you're younger than me, man. You got to get out more often, man.
How would getting out more often? By the way, I was out tonight with Richie. We were having some burgers.
We were socializing with the rest of the antisocials.
But getting out, just because you go out doesn't mean you will encounter information about political people. I mean, if you're out, you're just out.
And you're not going to see the early morning CBS show if you're out either.
Right.
Look, I just want her to call him out. Like, ask her about when Trump said he likes to grab women by the hoo-ha.
Oh, thank you for not saying
kiss him,
I appreciate that.
And being a celebrity. Ask him about how he said, I could stand on the New York street corner and shoot someone, and I wouldn't lose any support, okay?
You should tweet her this information.
Ask him about when Putin said,
Jerome's fantasy interview.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If you're interviewing a politician, you should actually perform an interview and not just sit down and
ask him hard questions.
Him.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
But we're not going to get to interview Trump, and this woman is not going to listen to us about how we think Trump should be interviewed.
Right. So. I think he just wants to vent, and that's fine. Okay. You can totally vent. Go ahead, Jerome.
Ask him about when they asked Putin, are you glad Trump won? He said, oh, yeah. Ask him about when he was saying, hey, Russia, if you're listening,
why is that even a problem? Right?
Wait, what? The Russia thing?
Why is it a problem that foreign leaders have a favorite politician? Right? Like, if we're looking at the elections in other countries, right, and there's like a capitalist that will trade with America freely or a socialist that will cut off all trade, would the American people or the American politicians not have a preference of which elected official is going to do business with America over the others?
Sure they would.
And if so, what's wrong with expressing that?
Jerome is unhappy about it. That's what.
That's fine.
Ask him about when he said what he meant when he said he's the best president for the Jews. Ask him about the talk show host guy who said he doesn't know why Jews still support the Democratic Party.
Is this Chris Cantwell?
They've done nothing for Jews.
Is he out?
Ask him about that. Okay, Gail, if you're out there listening,
I highly doubt
ask him about those things. Ask him, Gail.
Jerome,
I'm waiting on you.
Here's what I want to know is what is it going to take to get you on our Discord server? Because I think that would be really, really interesting to have you there.
Hey.
Do you have the internet?
You just tell me how to get there and I'll be there.
All right. Do you have the internet?
No. Hey, man, look. You think you're out of touch? I just bought a smartphone about 6 months ago.
Okay, then you've got the internet.
I used to have a regular flip phone, but then I decided I needed to upgrade.
All right,
you're
in the 21st century. Congratulations.
Go to the App Store, download the Discord app.
Yeah, you download the Discord app from either your Play Store or App Store, depending on whether you get a Google or iPhone. And then download the Discord app. You'll create an account. And then you just go on your web browser. You type in discord.lrn.fm. And you press enter or go or whatever it is, and then it'll pop you right into our server. Jerome, thanks.
Let me ask you one thing.
Christy Chen is in there, so you can like talk to her in the Discord chat and let her know what you want her to ask Trump.
What was the other question? Hello? Hey. Oh, man. I didn't do that, by the way. He hung up the phone. I think he thought we were gone or something. I don't know. We'll hear from him again, I'm sure, next weekend. Thanks, Jerome. Toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. Yeah, Free Talk Live, again, our new listeners in Anderson, South Carolina, listening to WAIM. There's a lot of people out there who expect all talk shows to be, like, in the loop with all the political goings-on and, like, I got all kinds of better things to do with my day than pay any attention whatsoever. Okay, I can tell you Bernie won Nevada, but that's about all I can tell you as far as like any recent political developments are concerned. I know just the very top layer, the most basic, next to zero about
it's like pop culture.
What's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you should keep up with what is going on in your local jurisdiction because you can possibly have some effect on that.
Possibly.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah,
I don't
but it's definitely going to affect you. But who's senator in Wyoming? Like, I can't. I have absolutely nothing to do with that.
You don't watch the CBS morning show every morning to get all this political information.
No, I do not sit around on my chair for 2 hours
make
watching
some
the
coffee,
morning
sit
show.
Back and watch morning television. God, that sounds awful. You ever seen the Onion episodes where they make fun of those shows, those morning shows?
I've probably seen a clip or two, but I couldn't offhand.
So they've got a really great parody called Today Now.
Okay, yeah, I've seen some of those.
Yeah, Today Now. And so there's like these hosts that are always laughing and smiling, and of course there's all this dark material that they're dealing with usually when they're on the air, and it's hilarious. I mean, just good stuff. So check that out on the Onion's YouTube channel. The sad thing about the Onion is they've like let their YouTube channel fall into disarray. There's very little that has been uploaded there in like the last couple of years. They just started uploading.
Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe they're getting away from the monolith of YouTube and moving the content elsewhere. No?
No, just
not producing
content?
So.
Yeah, okay. Maybe they had a budget cut or something like that. They can't afford to do it anymore or whatever. But they used to have some like really high quality, well-produced, funny stuff. And I went and looked the other day just because I take the Onion's videos. I've been taking them over the last several years and cutting them from 3 or 4 minutes, as long as they are online, to 1 minute. So they're the length that I can run during the commercial breaks here. Nice. So we've got like 400 of these things. And so I went to go and look and see if there was any new ones for the last year, and there really wasn't anything.
Right.
Sad stuff. And the writing there isn't as good as it used to be. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want here. It's Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. You dial toll free and join us here. The number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. Want to say thanks to Harry. He's a Free Talk Live silver amplifier, meaning that Harry contributes $5 a month to the Free Talk Live amp program at amp.freetalklive.com. AMP stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. If you appreciate the work that we do here, getting Free Talk Live and the ideas of freedom on more broadcast radio stations, which are up to 207 now, I believe that is a record high for Free Talk Live. So
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, Harry, for helping make that possible. And the other couple hundred folks, or almost couple hundred folks that we have in the AMP program, it's a small group, but it's a great group of folks who get behind what we do here, and they realize that there's some value to this program. Sadly, we're the only really principled libertarian show on broadcast radio, at least in syndication. There's a handful of libertarian, like, local talk show hosts scattered about the country, but as far as shows that are on more than one station, we're the only one. And so if you appreciate the work we do and you want to get some cool benefits, some perks as a result of joining the AMP program, go to amp.freetalklive.com. You get access to things like the AMP-only discussion rooms, or the rather supporters discussion rooms on our Discord Discord chat server, and other perks like the AMP-only Facebook group and more. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You can use PayPal. You can use credit card. You can use Bitcoin BTC to get signed up for AMP at ampamp.freetalklive.com. So please do like Harry and join AMP. It makes a big difference for us as we go to your calls, or we will be going to your calls and thoughts. But coming up, we're going to talk more about the article from Vice magazine that, Melanie, you brought in. It's all about abolishing the family in favor of feminism. Now, it hasn't really been clear on that so far. It's kind of a bit of a mess, but we're going to muddle through it here as best we can, because you said this is an important piece to talk about, so we're going to do that. But first, we got Graham in Pennsylvania listening online. Graham, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
About those election Democratic primaries you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, what about it?
It doesn't really matter who wins those primaries or who wins whatever election. What really matters is the career-long bureaucrats who work in local state government,
right,
who have union memberships and who get government employee pensions.
Yeah, there's no
doubt. They're the ones who...
The politicians change over the years, but the bureaucrats persist.
And they're not elected, so it's harder to get them out.
Yeah, well, and it also kind of goes into what you were just about saying about that newspaper article about the family.
It's not a real newspaper.
It doesn't matter. Well, that article you mentioned a second ago.
Vice News, yep.
The publication.
Yeah, where it's talking about, the family. Like I said, it goes to the bureaucrats as well. You can vote all you want, but if some government employee decides to kidnap your children, they can go ahead and do it. They could accuse you of all types of stuff, or they couldn't, or they could just say, we don't have to tell you why we took your kids.
Have you had a bad experience with CPS or whatever they call it in your neck of the woods? Child Protective Services?
No, but it happens a lot where I live.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everybody has known people who've had those experiences, and they're horrifying.
Apparently, there's an Adult Protective Services as well to help seniors who are in distress.
Wow.
Well, the thing about that in Pennsylvania is you could call the Adult Protective Services as a prank on your neighbors, and you could do it for years and years and years, and your victim, who you're causing to be harassed by calling Adult Protective Services in Pennsylvania, Adult Protective Services doesn't have to say who or why they called them.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, they can't, is my understanding of it, which probably varies by state, though.
I think it does vary by state. But how is that even a thing when if you're getting accused of something? Like, if you want to go to the Constitution or the law, don't you have a right somewhere to face your accuser? Like, isn't that written down somewhere? Like, if they're accusing you of something, they have to present themselves and make their case.
Yes.
They can't just pawn it off to the prosecutor.
Yeah. So, well, the witness doesn't have to make the case.
They don't have to make
the case. The prosecutor's still going to do the case, but yeah, you're supposed to be able to at least know who the witness is.
Yeah, because if it's their testimony, right, they have to testify in front of the judge that I witnessed this, right? I'm accusing this person of this, right? The prosecutor can make the case, but the accuser needs to present themselves and make their state their claim.
Yeah, you have a right to face your accuser.
So how do they get away with that in Pennsylvania? If you can crank call and have someone harassed, right? Presumably they're going to get taken away.
Well, if there's nobody who's arrested,
okay.
If they're just harassing them, then at that point they can still protect the accuser.
Okay.
If they arrest the person for some sort of alleged violation, then they may have to present the accuser in a trial.
So in that case, unless if you're getting harassed, take me away.
Hold on. Unless the police witnessed the violation themselves, in which case they wouldn't have to call, or you wouldn't necessarily be able to call.
Yeah, even in a criminal case, which I say even because you have more constitutional rights there, even though I think some of us would prefer it to be the other way around if we had a pick, you don't always get to the CI.
Mm-hmm.
The cops will go on the stand and testify as to what a CI told him, and which means you can also not cross-examine
objection,
them because they're
hearsay.
Not there.
Mm-hmm. That is hearsay.
Right. But yeah, it is. But you'll object and you'll get overruled and you'll
that
appeal it. And
well,
be...
now, wait a minute. I mean, maybe there are cases where that happens, but in our friend Nobody, who used to be known as Rich Paul, in his case, they put the snitch on the stand. So
well,
he was
yeah,
able
I
to call that person.
Yeah, just because they can do that doesn't mean they never.
So in some
witness.
Cases, they try to protect the snitch.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying, Graham. You're spot on, man. Anything else you want to share? Go ahead. Hello.
Come back to the phone.
Oh. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to James in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, James.
Why don't you just call him Rich Nobody Paul?
Because
his name's Nobody.
Jinx, owe me a Coke.
Clever of it. Hey, Richie, Rich, I don't see you wearing a flak jacket in studio anymore.
A flat top?
Flak jacket.
Oh, because we're not expecting your presence, James. that was
really?
Presented to me by...
Why would you wear
my...
a flak jacket in my presence? Are you taking the word of a complete loser and liar that the FBI doesn't even take his word versus mine?
Since
I haven't been arrested. Speaking of making false allegations in a court of law, I haven't been to a court of law to have to answer to a crime I would never commit, and that if anybody did commit, like I told in the Federal Bureau of Investigator, they should be executed. Just
okay.
As I told an FBI agent that when you make a false allegation in a court of law that makes you guilty of that which you accuse the person of committing, meaning Mark Edgington, to be put to death. For real. Not to mention, he's a crime victim. A flak jacket didn't do him any good. He can't go on vacation to Mariana Island
okay.
or have children.
Well, I didn't have to pay for the flak jacket,
he's
so there was no
dead.
Reason not to wear it.
He's still dead, speaking of murder. And one of these days, Mark Edgington is not going to be able to lie to anybody anymore.
Mark
he's
is a co-host here on Free Talk Live, who James is obsessed
he's a convicted
with.
Convicted murderer, ladies and gentlemen. A convicted
yeah.
murderer.
Who served his sentence and turned his life around.
In the Mariana Islands.
Who served? You don't believe in forgiveness,
yeah,
do
turned,
you, James? I thought you were a Christian.
Not for murderers.
Okay.
Not for murderers.
So Jesus would never forgive
yeah,
a murderer?
I believe in forgiveness for anybody that repents for the sins they've committed against me. It's a commandment.
Pretty sure he repented for his sins.
It's a commandment to repent against sins you commit against
make
James.
Make up things that are not true and then project them on me. Oh, you ugly cow, don't use my full name.
That's not very nice. And we'll use your full name as much as we want to, James Wittekind. Thank you for the call.
Yeah.
The toll-free number here, 855-450-FREE. The reason we know your name is because you kept calling the show obsessively and being insane, and people did research on you to find out who you were.
Yeah.
Because you were out of your mind.
And according to the liar, Mark Edge, right, there was a subpoena that was supposed to have been issued for James's presence in Keene,
yeah.
A day following the
but
show.
But he's never been issued it, apparently.
Apparently not, yeah, right?
He's
but
dodging the cops, something
Mark
like that.
Was under the impression that he would be here, said, well, you never know, might find the studio. Wear this flak jacket tonight,
Mark
just in
believes
case.
James is going to kill him. James has said some things that are pretty seemingly threats on the internet, and Mark has like a whole website dedicated to the things
I'm
James
not discounting
said.
It, but if someone yeah. hands you a flak jacket and says, you might want to wear this tonight... Mm-hmm. It cost me nothing to put on the flak jacket,
yep.
So I just put it on.
All right, so there you go, 855-450-FREE. But James swears up and down he's never threatened anybody, even though I'm sure we can find, if I cared enough, examples of him doing that.
There's
I don't care enough.
The
I'm
Facebook
not like
page.
Mark.
Things James Wittekind
yeah,
says.
Yeah, I'm not on Facebook, and I'm not like Mark. I really don't care what James says.
Okay.
And I don't agree with...
Well, you also don't have as much to defend as Mark, to be fair.
I've got a very nice dog.
The nuclear family.
So we got more coming up here. So we're getting back into the family subject on the way. Of course, your calls and thoughts are welcome. Plus, we can talk about free speech. It is has been under assault for more than 100 years in Connecticut. We'll tell you what happened there. It's Free Talk Live.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, launching into the second hour of the program. You're, of course, invited to join us here at this live Sunday edition. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
And don't forget, you can join us online at freetalklive.com. We've got the Discord server that is there for you around the clock. You can interact with other Free Talk Live listeners in our Discord server. A bunch of different rooms in which you can chat via text, or even voice chat is available. And it's free, so head over to discord.lrn.fm if you want to do that. They're posting videos of crows that somehow have been able to make cats fight one another right
nice.
Now. Which is pretty entertaining stuff. I was watching one during the news. So check that out. They always have some interesting stuff there at discord.lrn.fm. Let's go to your phone calls and thoughts. And more when we get to it about this Vice story that you brought in, Melanie. We started last hour that apparently is at some point going to argue that the family should be gotten rid of in favor of feminism. So we're going to get into that a little deeper. But first, we go to John. He's in Virginia listening to WNIS in Virginia Beach. Go ahead, John.
Hey, first of all, Melanie, I just want to say that last caller, what he had to say about you is awful. You're a lovely young lady and you do a terrific job, so we really appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, thank you. That was James. He calls in and insults and threats people. That's just what he does.
That's, yeah, he's drunk usually.
Well, no woman deserves to be spoken to like that. But anyway, I'll get to my point.
That's very kind.
I really wanted to talk about the potential for a brokered convention, Democratic convention.
Oh, my goodness.
With what Bernie does that mean? Sanders not.
It means the superdelegates are coming back to put in Bloomberg.
Correct, correct. And so my prediction is that the Democrats know that there is no way that Bernie Sanders will win a general election.
And against
so
Trump.
To have any chance against Trump. So to have any chance of winning, they have to put up a different candidate. Now you have this progressive.
But Bernie's been
Democratic
winning
Party.
Everything so far, right? The guy that's been winning everything is the candidate that Democrats are saying cannot win a general.
But he doesn't get all of the delegates from the states that he's won.
True.
So my point is, if he doesn't win more than, I would say, 30%, maybe 40%, then I think it's going to be a brokered convention, and I think that the Democrats know he has no chances of winning a general election and will maybe take the nomination away from him.
Bernie bros are going to
really
riot.
They're going to riot. You're exactly right. They're going to riot.
They didn't
they're
last time.
That's the thing. This will be the second time in a row that they've basically stolen the election from Bernie Sanders.
Well, I think big picture is it will cause a schism within the Democratic Party, where you already have a schism, you know, an unofficial schism, where you have this deep progressive wing, and you also have a moderate, more traditional Democratic wing, right? And so, you know, it's a shame that we're stuck in this two-party system mm-hmm. where, you know, if you're not aligned with the Democrats or the Republicans, you don't stand a chance, right? So look at the Green Party, right? They align more probably with the Democratic Party.
Yes.
They don't stand a chance in a general election without the backing of the Democratic Party. And so that's why nobody takes the Green Party seriously. Now, think about if the progressives, the real socialist wing of the Democratic Party sprung off, they wouldn't have a chance. So they have to tag on to the, you know, establishment Democratic Party. But I don't think that's going to last long if the nomination is taken away or, in their perception, stolen away from Bernie. So I just think...
So you think that there's... So you're saying that you think that in 2020, what will happen this year is what didn't happen in 2016, where there was so many people that were upset about them screwing over Bernie with, you know, Hillary Clinton cheating Bernie essentially out of winning the Democratic nomination. But yet they galvanized behind their candidate and they went forward and there really wasn't much fallout from that. You're saying this time, the second time, they're actually going to leave the Democratic Party and do something different, like join the Greens?
Two in a row sends a big signal.
It's possible. I mean, it could be the straw that broke the camel's back, you know? I think a lot of the Bernie supporters would rather go down with the ship than
But you know Bernie is just going to... Okay, but you know what's going to happen, right? Bernie is going to, if he loses, even if it's through some sort of skullduggery at the convention or whatever, Bernie's going to get behind their nominee and he's going to tell his people...
I don't think the Bernie supporters will, though.
He's going to tell his supporters to hold their nose. We got to do it because she's not Trump or he's not Trump or whoever it is the nominee from the Democratic side is, yes, it's not Bernie, but it's not Trump. So
and every state, if he doesn't run, every state doesn't have write-in ballots. So even if they wanted to go that route, it's not going to work.
I'm not even saying they're going to write in. They'll stay home from this election.
Here's one more take. Yeah, exactly. That was my next take. I think a lot of people last election, they held their nose and they voted for Hillary, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's going to happen now because he represents Bernie, represents such a distinct segment of the Democratic Party. I think that the progressive wing and the traditionalist Democrats are so split now that I don't think that the Bernie supporters will hold their nose and vote for a Democratic establishment candidate.
Well, it's an interesting prediction because people were saying the same thing in 2016 and they said the same thing about the Republicans as well. They said Trump was going to cause a schism within the Republican Party, but yet they've gotten behind him 90%+.
Well, yeah, but in the Bernie situation, it happened. It already happened with Hillary, and now there's already talk about it happening again with Bloomberg. And so you have diehard, not necessarily Democrats, but Bernie supporters, right, who, like you said, held their nose, got behind Hillary last time, and if they're diehard Bernie supporters, you're going to be hard-pressed to convince them, even if Bernie says so, to, like, throw their lot in behind Bloomberg after all the hard work they've done for Bernie. And, like, you know, I kind of agree with the caller. He agrees with me, whatever. I think they'll sit this one out.
I mean, the Democrats could avoid this whole thing by just not having a primary election if that's not how they want to pick their candidate.
You mean just pick it privately?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's how the brokered convention ends up, though. It's because Bernie doesn't get enough delegates to win the majority. Therefore, they broker it. They bring back in the
superdelegates. Use your regular caucus. Don't have a fake election. And then turn around and be like, well, we count different, so this is who really won.
Well, again, they have this part because if he does get enough, if he does get the majority, then the superdelegates are iced out. They don't have a say.
Good call, John.
It's if he doesn't.
Thanks for sharing your thoughts tonight here. I guess,
thank you, guys.
Yep, thank you. I guess time will tell as far as how it goes again this year. I mean, I wish I had the optimism to think that these people within these two major parties – would actually break away from those parties in any significant numbers, but just history doesn't show that to be the case.
I'm not agreeing with the caller on that. I don't think they're going to break away. Mm-hmm. I think they just sit it out.
Yeah, from what I've seen from Democrats that I know, they don't go create their own thing. They just refuse to vote until the DNC gets enough in line with what they want.
Well, they're going to get a hard time from their fellow Democrats then, right? Because they're going to be socially ostracized. What? You're not going to come vote for fill in the blank person who's not Bernie, Bloomberg?
Well, no, because if a lot of them do that, then they can't ostracize themselves. I mean, they could, but that would be really weird.
I can't believe there's going to be that many that break away because Trump is so evil to their mind that even Bloomberg is a better choice to them than Trump.
All Democrats aren't like political activist Democrats. There's just your regular people Democrats.
Sure, but a lot of people don't like Trump on the left, and they will always position themselves to be, well, you know, you may not like Bloomberg, but he's the winner. We nominated him and we get behind our nominee. That's what we do. And the same thing's true of the Republicans. They say the same crowd. Well, you liked Jeb Bush, but he didn't win. You got to get behind Trump. And then a bunch of these people who are like on the right wing, talk show hosts, for instance, who were against Trump during the primaries, changed their tune and became total Trumpers after
I don't get that feeling from the Bernie supporters and the Bernie bros.
Interesting.
Right. They're
you know them personally?
Not personally, but just from what I've read, what I've seen. It's not so much that they're anti-Trump. They're pro-Bernie. They're really behind Bernie's, you know, socialist programs, right? They want that. They want the free college. They want the free health care. They want, you know, the raised minimum wage, right? They want everything that Bernie's offering, and it's because...
But won't Bloomberg offer a bunch of that crap, too?
Maybe. I have... Mm-hmm. What is his platform?
Hell if I know. I don't pay attention to these people.
I don't know either.
855-453.
Bloomberg skipped Iowa and New Hampshire.
The primary is over in New Hampshire, so I have no reason to pay attention to them.
855-450-3733. You can bring up whatever you want here. The live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live. You can join us on the radio. And you can call us on Discord at discord.lrn.fm. It's Free Talk Live. You bring up anything you want here. Toll-free number 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash with dozens of payment methods. It's a global trading platform where there's no identification requirements to sign up for the site, which really is unusual. So head over to local.bitcoin.com and start trading Bitcoin Cash. And you can go to bitcoin.com, just the normal bitcoin.com site, and that's where you can kind of get started. If you're new to the world of cryptocurrency, learn about Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash at at bitcoin.com. And then local.bitcoin.com is where you go to buy or sell it. There's also news.bitcoin.com. It's got some news headlines updated every single day with fresh headlines from across the cryptocurrency globe at bitcoin.com. Bunch of cool features there. As we go back to your phone calls and thoughts, we'll start with David in Virginia, listening to WNIS in Norfolk. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I guess we got back-to-back callers from WNIS.
It's a great station.
You're doing a great job.
Big
here.
Signal. Go ahead.
Yes, it is. Yes. Well, my name is David. I live in Virginia Beach. I'm involved with an organization. We're involved in shared parenting, and that we believe that the judiciary, the family courts of this country, are doing more harm than good. They contribute to fatherlessness. Mm-hmm. That if you look at the last 20 or 30 mass shooters, a good portion of them, 60, 70, 80% of them came from in families that weren't intact, and in a lot of cases, the father wasn't present. So we believe that part of the contribution to this poor statistic is, and I wanted to bring it to your attention to get your listeners to learn something about this, that the federal government incentivizes through Title 4D of the Social Security Act, these state courts, these juvenile domestic relations secret courts, in which 80-90% of the time the father is relegated to a visitor, and in exchange for that, they get money from the federal government. So,
really,
effectively, it's a Kids for Cash program. And when you brought up the feminist involvement, it fits right into that narrative. And I'm involved with people from coast to coast, from Maine to Hawaii and Florida to Alaska, who have had their kids ripped out of their lives, me included. Mm-hmm. And it's these courts operate in secret. You were talking about rules of evidence that does not exist in these courts. The Guantanamo prisoners have more rights than fathers do in family courts.
Yeah. Well, look, for years from a lot of people who've been screwed over, mostly men, by the family court system. And there's just horror story after horror story. But you're telling me that the federal government is somehow incentivizing these decisions?
The federal government, look it up. Title 4D of the Social Security Act provides incentive payments of more than $500 million to thousands of state courts around the country. It's essentially a Kids for Cash program. And I can tell you—
And the courts, just to clarify, the courts get the payments for what purpose?
They're supposed to keep families intact, but what happens is the family court ends up being like a beauty pageant, a witch hunt, and a political campaign all rolled into one. Picture those three things, and that's what when a father's going into family court to fight for his kids, not always a father, but 80-90% of the time it is. It's comparable to a witch hunt, a political campaign, and a beauty pageant.
So I'm gonna jump in real quick.
Child.
I'm gonna jump in real quick because
If you watch Marriage Story, the movie Marriage Story that just won an Oscar for Laura Dern, she plays a lawyer and she does an amazing job. So anyway, you piqued my interest when you were talking about families and.
I'm going to jump in real quick, caller, because I'm.
All right, go ahead. Okay, I'll listen. Go ahead.
I'm the anecdotal opposition case to that, because my parents are divorced, and my dad won custody of me in the 80s, when a lot of people think like this whole.
It happens.
It does happen, which, and again, this is why I say I'm the anecdotal case, right? I'm sure it happens a lot.
Statistically, it doesn't. Statistically, single females had 85% of all households, of single parent households.
Yep.
And we think a contributing factor is there's no incentive for females to keep their marriage intact. I mean, 80-90% of all divorces are initiated by females because they have come to the conclusion that if they go into family court, they can't lose. They get the kids and they get cash.
Yeah, so they've created a family court, which
state
means
state courts get compensated.
Yeah, so you can
literally these. Go ahead.
So you can basically quit your job as wife, but continue to get paid for that job, is essentially what you can do in the U.S.
Well, you know, they haven't quite made it that lucrative. I'm not so sure. I mean, I guess it just depends. Well
no, you're still going to pay because you're still going to child support and you're still
for the basketball players. Yes, you are right, but that not. You are
well, yeah,
right
but if you're an average person making $30,000 a year. And you go get divorced,
right.
You're not going to get $1 million because your husband wasn't making
right.
that. You're going to
get a
proportional
payout. But if you're unhappy,
payout.
You know, I mean, but you read about these celebrities. I mean, go back and watch Marriage Story. It is amazing how the courtroom scenes are really phenomenal. I mean, because
so
I,
is this
I,
a show, is this and, a movie that is somehow pro? The dad?
Well,
it
depicts what happens when a family goes through a divorce, and so it's a pretty good depiction of it.
So, in my case, I don't have the whole story because I was not even born yet when it happened. But I asked, like, you know, what did it take to get custody of me as a male in the 80s? And it was basically like a lot of money and an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, you know, I talked to my mom. She goes, well, I didn't have an attorney. And I went, well, you lost. Uh-huh. Right. Like if that's the route you took. Right. Then
well, it only
that
takes
was probably
one of the two parties. It only takes one of the two parties. I mean, if both people can agree, then you can keep the judiciary out of it. But if only one of the two parties does not agree, they can throw sand in the gears and.
Well, yeah, if it's your kid and you're in family court, like something has already gone wrong. If you're fighting somebody who is actually the other parent, because there are people who have just another person come in and try to interfere. But if you're talking about the two parents and they're already in family court,
you've
already messed up at that point.
Yes. If you've already got to get now, there's another thing I want to point out, too, that goes on in these situations. Is there's a thing in our movement called the silver bullet theory. And what it means is a lot of cases, some cases, I don't say, some cases, a female will go and say, maybe they were married for 20 or 30 years, and then all of a sudden they're threatened by the ex. So they get a protective order, and the protective order prevents the father from being anywhere near. And then so that is just, I mean, they do it every chance they can.
There's so many horrifying stories about people using this court systems against their former lovers to keep them away from their kids, and it's tragic.
Be David, proactive.
Thanks for the call tonight, man. Appreciate hearing from you. There's more coming up. 855 450.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you get the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at anypayinc.com. Anypayinc.com.
Free Talk Live. Live Sunday edition here. You can join us. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE, like freedom. It's 855-450-3733. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Richard Rich.
And Melanie.
Also, I want to let you know about the Edge Wallet. It allows you to buy, sell, trade, and securely hold various cryptocurrencies. I used mine twice tonight. I was actually out with you. We had some dinner, Richie, and then I went across the street to buy some stuff at the little corner news shop.
Nice.
I just used Edge Wallet in both places because, well, we can do that here in Keene. There's actually businesses that accept cryptocurrency. But of course, Edge Wallet is also useful for online purchases as well. Or maybe you just want to hold some money and send some to your loved ones from Edge. You can do that too. Go to edge.app to learn more about the technology behind Edge and secure your freedom with their iOS or Android apps available in the iOS and Android app stores. So go and download Edge Wallet, EDGE Edge Wallet, or their website, edge.app. As we continue here, you can bring up what you want. We go to Durango, Colorado, where Jeff is on the line. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, how you doing? I'm just funny listening to that, your prior caller and what he was complaining about. I had another kind of a spooky incident, and it really wasn't as far as the, the courts and kids and whatnot. I think a lot of that depends on, you know, the wisdom of the local magistrate, you know, whether he goes, you know, a compassionate way or an intelligent way or not. You know, there's a lot of good ones and some of them ain't so good.
I don't know
but
if
anyway,
that's, I don't think there's a lot
yeah,
of good
no,
ones.
Yeah, no, he was right. I do kind of want to hold people to more personal responsibility to that. Like, if you're in court because you picked the wrong partner, but everything else he said was... I'm going to exempt another thing. I've heard of the Title IV thing before. No one's has ever been able to send me a citation of that, so I don't know if
this
I believe
is the
it.
Claim that the feds are paying courts to somehow do something. It wasn't really clear regarding families.
But as far as women win custody, that is accurate.
Yeah, I tell you what, something's a little spooky, okay? I was in the Four Corners area, come to find out that there is a Epstein matrix in the Four Corners, which is seriously spooky.
What's an Epstein matrix?
Child modeling that belongs to the Epstein ranch, you know? And it's gone back decades, and it's extremely dark, you know, and basically human trafficking. In the Four Corners area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you found out about this how?
Law enforcement. I'm in law enforcement, and I have a very, very good friend who was a psychologist in New Mexico, and people were coming to her in their 40s, so right as they were approaching 40, and they're all telling the same story, that all of a sudden they were remembering some really spooky stuff about how they were basically marketed as small children, and they had some severe, they call it beta conditioning, kind of sounds like Manchurian Candidate stuff, and they basically repress them when they start waking up, come to find out these were techniques by Joseph Mengele, you know, and the Nazi thing, and basically it shatters the personalities of children, and then later on, after they've been seriously abused and marketed, and they will put a basically a type of hypnosis for them to forget, but when they start remembering, it's rather spooky.
How old were these people? I mean,
you said approaching 40.
Right, but at the time when they were marketed.
Yeah, 39. We're talking like 5 years old. We're talking they start them very young.
That's not what I heard about Epstein. I mean, I don't think any allegations about Epstein went that young.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Epstein Ranch over here in New Mexico. Mostly everybody. This is a large through Santa Fe ring. This wasn't very small. This was huge.
I mean, you would think if Epstein were alleged to have been, I mean, they were trying to drag Epstein through as much of the mud as possible. Here, I'm going to put you on hold. There's a lot of breathing going on there. But, you know, they were not holding back against Jeffrey Epstein. They would drag him through the mud as much as they could. I mean, if there were allegations about him being involved with children, then, you know, you think we would have heard about it. I mean, when I say children, I mean actual children, people who have not hit puberty yet.
Also, I don't remember much from when I was 5 years old as well.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you need to hypnotize anybody to make them forget what a five-year-old
thinks. Jeffrey Epstein was accused of trafficking actual children.
I mean, I heard as young as like 12, but I hadn't heard anything actually younger than that. You have? You've heard allegations about five-year-olds?
Because that's... I don't know if it was specifically five, but like actual children.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
Not like...
First I've heard of it.
Yeah, no.
I mean, were there people who came out saying that they had been trafficked? Because the women that were speaking out were all in their teenage years.
By the time they got out?
No. They were trafficked. Or if you want to use the term trafficked, I don't think it's fair to use that
child
term.
Child prostitute.
Yeah, they were
teenage prostitutes.
Teenage prostitutes. So, I mean, I didn't...
Who all willingly just went to his island and lived there and never left. It's like, come on.
They were paid handsomely.
They were getting paid. So anyway, Jeff, any other thoughts? Go ahead.
We have graveyards in the Four Corners through Dolores and Montezuma County and La Plata County. Are you still there?
I'm right here, yeah.
Okay. And when the children are not cooperative, they disappear. These are the children that you see on milk cartons. And it's funny, they found out that some of the local law enforcement are part of it, and I was sent to seize a child from a family. I knew the family. They were seriously straight arrows, right? But somebody on a corner, on their corner, street corner, kept calling up the local child protection and saying, oh, I think they're being abused. Well, I knew the family. I knew that was garbage. But what they wanted to do, they took me to the, I went to the house one night, and they said, gave me a ride along of this supposedly child welfare person, and she said, take the child. I said, on what charge? You know?
Doesn't matter. Said, safety.
And what happens is these children are suddenly, they disappear from their parents. You know, the parents were at a Little League game. It was in broad daylight. The kid was 13. And they said, take the child. Well, I already knew what was happening to them. They were being supposedly fostered. But the places where they're fostered to, these parents can never find their children again. You know?
Well, the foster system is also rife with insane corruption and vile individuals. Indeed.
But it's also manipulated by extremely crafty individuals.
People in the government, by the way, that's what the foster system
sadly,
is.
And the police department.
Well, sadly, it's there's a lot of perverse folks that literally they have certain professions of choice that give them access to victims, education, you name it, you know,
That's true.
And
no one should be surprised that people who want to victimize. Children are attracted to jobs which deal with children.
Yes, of course.
Thank you, Jeff, for your call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. And although I don't see any evidence here, Melanie, I don't know where you heard the story. I'd be curious to know. The summary here from Wikipedia about Epstein says that the federal investigation found that he was able to identify 36 girls, some as young as 14 years old. But then there was a different story about some girls that were 12 that were brought over from France to one of his houses. So, but I have not heard anything in the single digits at all.
The caller's story doesn't surprise me. I just don't make the connection to the Epstein.
Are you talking
problem.
About his federal case where he actually took a plea and that's resolved? Or you're talking about the not current anymore since
any
he's
allegations
dead, but...
at all about him? I've never heard anything about actual children. I mean, you could argue that 12 years old is pretty young for sure. But
I mean, I would call a 12-year-old a child anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that argument, but some of them are still hitting puberty. There's no doubt about that. I have not heard any argument that he was after people that were younger than that. But if you can provide any evidence, I'd be curious to hear about it. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. And yeah, most of these girls were enticed to be with Jeffrey Epstein. They weren't held against their will.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's the thing. I'm not saying he was a good guy, okay? I'm not saying that, you know, he was an honorable or
enticing 12-year-olds into prostitution, you're a rapist.
Well,
most
of them were teenagers, like the super majority. There's just one story about 12-year-olds being brought across the ocean from France, and I think their parents were involved in it or something like that. I don't know all the details.
I don't know either.
Toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. You can bring up what you want here on Free Talk Live. This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up whatever you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We've got the Discord call-in line rooms. Go to discord.lrn.fm. Hop into any one of those. We'll join you in there, and then you can get on the air with us here in the studio. It's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
Also, I want to make sure you know about LibertyCon. It's coming up in early April, April 3rd through the 5th, in Washington, D.C. And that is where you can go to actually network with something like 70-plus Liberty organizations there in D.C. You can go to LibertyCon.com, use code FTL, you'll save $10 on your tickets. That's actually a significant chunk of the ticket price. There are only $100 tickets, $99 for a regular price tickets. If you're a student, you can get, I think, half off. So they really want students to attend this event. It's actually put on by Students for Liberty. Go to LibertyCon.com, again, April 3rd through the 5th. There's going to be debates there. There are going to be speakers like John Mackey and more. It's LibertyCon.com, code FTL. Saves you $10. So I just, you know, just to go and see if we can clarify what exactly the allegations were with Jeffrey Epstein, because obviously there are a bunch of them, a lot of different women coming out and saying that they were targeted by this person. They were recruited. And ultimately, we know that what he did was, once he would successfully have an interaction with a teenage girl, he would then ask her, or his assistant, Ghislaine Maxwell, would ask the girl to find some more girls to, hey, recruit your friends.
Seems reasonable.
Recruit two. And so they had literally, you know, dozens, if not hundreds of young girls going through there. But in, you know, the allegations, they're all saying that they were between 14 and 16. That's what the bulk of the accusers right. were saying. That's what they are saying they were when they met him, and that's what they say they brought him when he wanted more teenage girls.
Maybe those were specifically for Jeffrey Epstein himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would suggest is maybe that little black book with, you know, hundreds of other names of other people like him. Maybe there's a name or two in there that had a proclivity for younger girls.
And right? that he was the pimp, basically,
right.
working to,
like,
connect those people.
They want the five-year-old. You know, he's got some property in the four corners of New Mexico somewhere, and he can traffic those to his clientele.
Now, you're totally speculating, right?
Completely.
There's no allegations. There are no allegations about this happening.
None whatsoever.
I mean, the
I've
caller
seen.
Was making claims, but there's been no right. actual, like, girls who've said, I saw this. And in the case of the allegations about the 12-year-olds, which I had remembered hearing, I went and I looked it up. It was actually Virginia Guffrey, I think is her last name, the prime accuser against the one who got all the press coverage over okay. the last year or so. She was the one who made those allegations. There's no other actual evidence or any other claims about it. And,
right.
of course, she was the one who was the prime accuser. She was the one getting all this attention. She was the teenager who was traveling with Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
And, you know, he would take her to different places. And, you know, so clearly she was willing to go along with this, right? Like,
how
she was
is, how is that clear at all?
Because she kept going back.
Voluntarily.
Yeah, if you're going, if you're being abused somewhere and you keep going back to that place, kind of somewhat of your fault, right? Like, you know, if you're not being threatened, if they didn't say, come here or we're going to kill you, and they, she didn't ever ask.
Oh, did you just going back home to her parents, to yeah. her, like, middle class,
wherever.
Peaceful,
maybe
suburban
lower
parents
class.
And being like, hey,
with a lot more money
I'm
in
a prostitute.
No, I don't think she told her parents that.
You know, let me, I'm going on this plane next Saturday.
I don't know what her parents thought. I don't know how present they were in her life. But she had somewhere else to go. She wasn't there full time, I don't think. She was traveling with him, you know, regularly, so she was there often. But that might have been like closer when she was 17. I think she started with him when she was like 15 or whatever. So I mean, she went with this guy for years, and you know,
starting a modeling career. Quote
she looked
unquote.
Plenty happy in the photo with Prince Andrew. So you know, they didn't have a gun to this girl's head.
How do you don't know that either?
She didn't say that she was under threat. At no point in all of the interviews this girl did, because we followed the case here on Free Talk Live. It was big news last year, right? If she were being threatened, why wouldn't she come out and say that? The only reason I went back to that man's house was because they said they were going to kill my sister. Well, they didn't. The reason she went back was because she was getting paid. She got to fly places. She got to experience different things or whatever. For whatever reason, she was into it at that time, and maybe she didn't get enough money, and that's why she's after him. Because there have been hundreds of girls, allegedly, that this man has had sex with, but only a few dozen have been identified, you know, as victims.
Or she
so-called.
Had a change of heart. Someone, you know, someone later in life said, no, he totally victimized
you. He abused you.
This total child abuse. Yeah. How could you not have seen that?
Yeah.
And she said, no, I was getting paid, and
you
I enjoyed myself.
You believe that everybody on the island was just free to leave.
I don't know much about the island. You're talking about the U.S. Virgin Islands?
I'm talking
about
Jeffrey Epstein's
talking about the Virgin
Islands?
The house?
Yes.
There? I haven't heard specific allegations about that, but nobody has said that they were kept against their will.
Yeah, none of the whistleblowers that came out, to, like Ian said, for the interviews, had said that they were being threatened or in any way forced to be there.
Never heard that allegation. And again, they're trying to drag this guy through the mud. So you would think that if somebody was willing to make that allegation, the press would have blown that all across the headlines.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem like he needed to be drugged too much. He seems pretty happy to go.
Sex with 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds is enough to drag you through the mud.
No, but again, if he was holding people against their will, why wouldn't that be made public?
If you have a building full of 12 and 14-year-olds who you as a grown man are, you know, quote, having sex with, you're holding them against their will. A 12-year-old is not just like,
okay, but
hey,
again,
I think
the 12-year-olds were
bang millionaires.
Just to be clear, the 12-year-olds were only an allegation by one accuser. So there's no actual evidence for that. It's just hearsay, just what somebody claimed about him. The other people were 14, 15, 16, 17 years old.
Who, now, when came out to tell their story, did not make the claim that they were held against their will.
No one has ever said they were held against their will. So I
you
mean,
can believe they were held against their will, but they themselves
I don't
are
know
not
about you,
believing but. That the dude with the island full of underage girls, you know, like young teens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm believing that he was committing human trafficking. Yeah, I am.
Well, you can think human trafficking, but the quote unquote victims of that would disagree with you.
Maybe they
just
didn't
feel
like they had to spell it out that much. Maybe they just thought, like, if they would say, like, hey, I was 14. This dude kept trying to sleep with me. He was keeping me on his island. They thought that was enough.
No, it doesn't work that way, right? Like, he would have to attract them to go to the island in the first place, unless you're saying he kidnapped them. Which, again, those allegations were never made. Nobody ever said that he kidnapped them and took them to the island. He had young girls, teenage girls, come to his home in Palm Beach or in, you know, New Mexico or wherever. But
the term
usually
grooming
about Palm
is
Beach.
Thrown around, and I can accept grooming, right? Like preparing them for that type of lifestyle.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
And paying them. As well for that lifestyle.
We'll never see all the evidence because he's dead, so there won't be a trial.
Nope,
I don't see any
but the
way
victims can
how
come out
he's,
and make the claim.
He's innocent.
Innocent of what?
Of rape. Or of human trafficking.
Okay, well, there have been some allegations about rape. Now, there have been those. You know, some of these girls said that they were raped by him.
Okay, now, well, yes, this is the main problem,
but again,
the rape and the human trafficking.
If you come back to this man's house after he's already taken his pants off in front of you and asked you to touch him in certain places
or raped
him and paid you or whatever, and then you come back and then you claim that he raped you, I mean, I'm not saying that makes it okay, but why would you come back? In that circumstance,
abused 14-year-olds tend to not make the most high-level cognitive decisions.
Okay,
right. But looking back on their time, right? Why not make those? Why not come clean about the actual situation now?
If they were being held against their will, they should have said it. I think they would have if they were being held against their will, but they couldn't make that claim because it wasn't true. Maybe they were all messed up in the head or whatever, but it sounded to me like nobody was threatening them to get them to be there, that they were there because they were getting paid. Now, whether that's taking advantage of a young girl or not, that's a whole other question. I think some of them would absolutely be able to make the decision that they want to get paid for that sort of work.
Okay, if we're talking about 16 and 17-year-olds, yes.
14 and 15 and 16 and 17-year-olds, yeah.
No.
Nope. So 16-year-olds can make a decision about sex work, but 15-year-olds can't?
Oh, no.
14-year-olds can't.
Now we get to the arbitrary line of where we draw it.
So you can join us here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. Again, if he was accused of holding people against their will or threatening, because usually when you talk about sex trafficking, somebody's being threatened. It's not, oh, hey, let's pay you to come here and do these things.
Or drugged even.
Or drugged or whatever. It's, look, you come here and do this or we're going to kill your mom. That's one of the ways they do it, right? Like if they're holding somebody against their will.
Or if you're rich, you could just fly them to an island and not take them back.
But then they would say that. They went back again.
Yeah, but then they would say, "Oh my God, he didn't let me leave the island. I was trapped there." No one ever said that. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. We didn't hear a story about them coming to the island and rescuing like 10 girls from the island. That didn't happen either.
I don't trust the FBI to rescue people from the island.
855-450-FREE, like freedom.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divvy. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divvy, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and with withdraw directly to your bank account. Divvy already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DivvyProject.org. DivvyProject.org.
Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. The toll-free number is 855-450-FREE like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We have the Discord call-in line rooms at discord.lrn.fm. Also, you can bring up whatever's on your mind. That's the point here on Free Talk Live. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
As we continue, you can take control of the airwaves, but let's get back into the story, Melanie, that you brought up earlier tonight. It was the first hour of the show, for listeners just tuning in, from Vice Magazine at vice.com. A story, and actually it's a piece about somebody who is an author. So not the writer of this piece at Vice, but they're writing about an author
of extreme feminism or whatever kind of feminism they want to call it.
And this author is against the idea of families.
Yeah, she wrote a book about called Surrogacy Now, and she's opposed to families as a concept.
Okay.
So
Tell me more.
It continues, at this point, surrogacy becomes somewhat metaphorical. Lewis isn't asking that we all agree to physically gestate fetuses that aren't biologically ours. Her radical proposition is that we embrace, quote, full surrogacy by abolishing the family. That means caring for each other, not in discrete private units, also known as nuclear households, but rather within larger systems of care that can provide us with the love and support that we can't always get from blood relations, something Lewis knows all too
well. What does that mean? A larger system of care, not private households.
Well, it
like
takes a village
home?
To raise a child.
Yeah, well, that's what they're getting at, right? But what is it?
Well, except that, you know, society itself. So they are under the odd impression that just random people are going to care for you as much as your actual family and even friends.
That's a hard proposition.
That's a job for Jeffrey Epstein. That's the kind of thing. That's the kind of person who would be attracted to that sort of position, right?
Oh, you need help with the surrogate of your child? Mm-hmm. Give them to me. I handle many on the island.
So he's saying every child should be born by the author here is saying every child should be born by a surrogate mom.
No. So you would still presumably be having your own kids, but then
I thought she said go all surrogate.
Yeah, but then it said becomes somewhat metaphorical.
Okay.
She's not saying, like, literally, go everybody go to the IFV lab and everybody will just be lab babies.
I thought that's
She's
what it was
saying.
Saying okay.
It's society's kid.
Right, so you would have your own kid, but then you wouldn't keep it in a home that you lived in. It would be in some sort of a system, is what she's saying.
They don't go into, like, what the buildings would look like at that point, but it wouldn't be your kid. It would be society's kid. Mm-hmm. So you would get paid to raise it, or somebody else would get paid to raise it, or maybe it would be assigned to somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I almost feel like the state feels that way now.
You get paid to be pregnant.
They definitely feel that way now. They take control of your children as soon as they can.
Yeah. It's the child belongs to the state. You are just charged with its care.
Well, you can usually avoid most of that, though.
All right, tell me more.
Even those of us who might call our family situations already relatively happy is in quotation marks for some reason.
Because no family is truly happy.
I mean, if you're talking about 100% happiness 100% of the time, nothing is truly happy. Should sign on to this project of demolishing their essential structure, Lewis says. Nuclear households create the infrastructure for capitalism, passing wealth and property down family trees, concentrating it in the hands of the few, at the top of our class hierarchy. Maintaining the traditional family structure over time has also meant exploiting people of color and disowning queer children. So
now the truth comes out.
There's nothing in having a family and actually take care of it that says you have to disown your non-straight children.
This is anti-capitalist propaganda using the for the sake of the child argument to get to make its point.
And so, yeah, basically, people, if they're supporting their own families, will go out and seek resources through jobs, and she just, this is a major problem for
Heaven
her.
Heaven forbid you work to support people you care about.
Well, she had said that she doesn't like work earlier, right?
But she thinks somebody's going to work and not get the money. It's the weird thing. It's like, if people aren't producing enough now, when they actually get paid,
how much will they produce when they don't get paid?
Why will you work just to be like, well, it's society.
It's for the good of society.
Like, no.
This is the communist dream, right? The
I wonder
idea
how much
that
her book cost. She's giving it out for free?
Great point. What was the book called?
Surrogacy Now.
Okay.
There you go.
Let's find out. And?
Lewis isn't concerned with incremental changes within our existing systems. Full Surrogacy Now, for example, doesn't make any concrete policy proposals or spend time worrying over issues like the gender pay gap and paid family leave. She's concerned with much bolder possibilities in Lewis's utopian future. It's not very utopian to me. The family as we know it no longer exists. Everyone, regardless of gender, is a surrogate. We mother each other.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, so she's the bad cop of the leftism, basically.
I guess on a grand scale, I can maybe hear the argument being made that we should all be kind to each other and care for each other as a society beyond familial relationships, right?
Okay, so you should have friends, and then beyond that, if it's
but
like
not just friends, the stranger on the street.
Okay, so if it's like all else being equal, and somebody else needs help out, and it doesn't hurt me, yeah, then I should do it. But if you're just like a random 60-year-old I have no affiliation with,
you should still help out of the kindness and the goodness of your heart.
Well, no, because if I'm helping, like, resources are limited. Even under communism, even under full communism, and even if everyone complies, resources are still limited.
True.
So if I give $500 a month to some random person who didn't save, that's $500 a month I can't do something else with.
That's true, but then when you're on the other end of that spectrum, because of the kindness of society,
don't be on the other end of that spectrum.
Well, but if you keep giving out your money, you're going
to. The spectrum should be limited to people who had things happen outside of their control. And I think if we limited to that, then society could actually bear that cost without damaging itself.
So Medicare for all, then?
No, how is that out of your control?
Oh, because if you have a tragic accident of some kind that was out of your control, or you get befallen an illness that you can't afford, the more people bearing that cost would decrease the cost for every individual.
I know that there are jurisdictions where this is not the case, but generally it's not outside of your control to buy health insurance.
That's true, but if everyone's bearing the cost, you don't have to buy it. If everyone just...
Well, no, because... That's just not the case. But if we're talking
about,
there's
mutualism where people can voluntarily bear the cost of health care for their neighbors,
yeah, okay,
and then there's communism where they've got a gun to their head.
Sure.
And then now you have no price signals for health care.
Well, but it doesn't matter because, again, in this utopia, you just, when you need health care, you go to the person providing it, and out of the goodness of their heart, they provide it for you because everyone in society just provides for each other.
That's the fantasy of communism.
And these fantasies pictures themselves as a doctor or an artist or something pleasant. No one pictures themselves as a farmer or a garbage man or anything that you would need on a day-to-day basis.
Maybe. Sure. I'm just saying, the whole, like, be kind to each other, disperse the cost. Like, I get the ideals of communism, but I don't see that as a negative goal, more so the mechanism that they would normally use to achieve that, which is forcing everybody into
mechanism
to achieve that goal.
There's a difference between being kind to everyone and paying for everyone else's bills. Those are two different things. Like, yeah, if you're in traffic, don't cut somebody off because there's no reason to.
One of the issues...
Also, don't pay their rent.
When things are free is that people overuse them, right? So if you can go and get something for free, you're going to go and get more of it because it costs you nothing. And
to an extent.
And that's true when it comes to people's time. So if healthcare is free, then a bunch of people are going to be lining up around the block to get free healthcare because it doesn't cost them anything but the time to sit there and wait for it, whereas the doctor is loaded up with work. He's never able to stop because there's constantly people who want his attention, even though they don't really need it. So setting a price allows the market to kind of decide what's actually necessary.
I think there's like a critical mass point when it comes to getting free stuff, where at first you may overuse it, but at some point you go like, no, I've got
but
enough
of this.
That's
literally how a supply and demand curve works. If you lower the price to zero, the demand goes up.
We got more coming up here.
But
855
not to infinity.
450 free, 855-450-3733. This is Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want here. Toll-free number is 855-450. Free like freedom. That's 855-450-3733. We do have the Discord call-in line rooms over at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you in the studio tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
Also, want to make sure you know about AnyPay. It is a great way to get businesses on board with accepting cryptocurrency in real life. And here's what you do. You can actually now get rewarded if you get a local business to accept cryptocurrency with AnyPay. What you do is you download the AnyPay Cash Register app. It's available on the Google or Apple app stores. You download that to your own phone and just set it up for yourself. Put your own cryptocurrency wallet addresses in, set up an account, and then you sign your local business up with AnyPay, get them installed with the AnyPay Cash Register app, get them set up, and then let AnyPay know what you've done over at AnyPayInc.com. That's AnyPayInc.com. You'll become an AnyPay ambassador where you'll earn passive income for every purchase in Dash and Bitcoin Cash at those businesses that you brought on board. So,
how does that let them know work? Is there a form on the website?
I think you just have to use an email, okay. Contact them and whatever. I think they also have a Telegram chat, so that might work
like,
as well.
I set up this business. Here's my wallet address for the commission.
Yeah, well, you won't have to give them the address. You give them your email address, and then they'll know because you used your email to sign up for the account. So AnyPayInc.com as we continue here. Of course, you can bring up anything that you want. We've been talking about this story out of Vice magazine about how the woman who's the author of this book called Full Surrogacy Now, which, by the way, I did look it up, Richie. She wants $21.56.
That's outrageous.
Apparently, she hasn't fully embraced communism yet and, you know, hasn't decided to give away her book.
Good Lord, but that's a lot of money.
But in, you can get the digital version for $9.99.
Okay.
So, ebook version of that if you want to read this communist tripe. But, Melanie, you've been sharing this story, which is sympathetic, the story advice to the author here. Saying that she wants everyone to be a surrogate, although you say that doesn't mean you couldn't have your own child. It's just that
that's
would
what
mean.
She said. I mean, this is not my. None of this is mine.
Okay, but you're the one who's read it, so I presume you know a little more about it than I do. But so she's saying you could still have your own child, but it wouldn't belong to you. You would just be having it for the community, who would then be taking care of it.
Everyone would be responsible for taking care of everyone else, and it would be this like equality of caretaking, basically.
Like dropping them off at school and letting them in the hands of the teacher for 6 hours a day.
Well, right now that's voluntary.
Okay.
You can just not do that, at least in the States.
All right, so what else do we need to know about this?
Yeah, so then basically she goes on, this arrangement that she wants to have set up is because she thinks that caretaking is a unpaid and inequitable job that falls on women, and it's why women can't have these careers, and it's why women can't, she says, you know, why hasn't there been a female Mozart? Why hasn't there been a female Shakespeare? It's why women can't do all these
things.
Some
say Shakespeare was a female.
I have not heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a theory about that.
That's why he writes such good love stories.
And she thinks that this would solve that, which, I mean, obviously she's wrong, but so you're not going to be as, No, if it's your friend, yes, but that's kind of a separate situation. You're not going to be as motivated to take care of a stranger. She seems to imply that, like, whoever happens to be living closest to her mother in the UK should have been taking care of her instead of her, which would leave her mother without her kids, her without her mother, and then some stranger having to take care of some stranger. None of this is going to solve her problem, which is she's kind of trying to do two jobs at once.
It kind of would solve her problem, right? Because if someone else, if a stranger was taking care of her mother, she would then be free of that burden and could actively pursue her career as an author.
Right, but presumably she actually wanted to see her mother because she's like paying plane tickets and keep going there and doing it.
Yeah.
So...
that's a little strange.
If you just hate your parents and you're like, you know, I hope you die, then you're probably not going to go take care of them.
She's been brainwashed to feel that way towards her, what's the word, her closest proto-relative or whatever. I said at the beginning.
And then,
bio-relative.
Yeah, and then so, in case you didn't know, having kids was voluntary. So you could just not have a kid and then you could be free to pursue this career that you seemingly want to pursue. So we've had solutions to all these things that have worked really well. If you want to have a family and be a mother, you can do that. If you want to have a career and pursue a career and spend all your time doing that, you can do that.
That's not always the case, though.
It's not always the case.
The freedom to pursue the career as a female, because unless you're like the entrepreneur and you're just a regular, you know, working class, I'm going to go get a job. Right, then the case could be made that you're less likely to be hired for that job because there's still the potential that you could get pregnant and therefore not be as valuable to the organization as
so
a male.
That problem is being caused by the state because it is highly illegal to say, you know what, I need whoever I'm going to hire for this to actually be available to do this job. So why don't you go ahead and prove that you have, like, prove your IUD status or prove your, like, tube tie status? Because you're telling me you want to be, like, CEO. So you can't raise a family. You can't be pregnant and in the hospital for 2 months.
Nope.
So why don't you go ahead and prove this to me? And then, like, either you're going to be single and you just want to have a career, or maybe you're a lesbian and your wife is going to have the kids. But, like, prove to me your infertility status. Like, your employer is so going to get sued if they even ask that.
That is true.
So they can't, you're not allowed to guarantee to your employer that, hey, I'm actually going to do this job.
Which is why they're more likely to hire a male.
Right.
Yeah. And that's just biology. They can't change that. And then B, okay, so if you're saying I am just like highly motivated to be a career woman and I want, you know, XYZ career path. Okay. Well then, you're not owed anyone else's employment position. Like, go start your own thing.
Yeah, that's why I said, unless you're going to be the entrepreneur, which is difficult in and of itself.
Right, because of the government.
Right, but if you're saying, this is, like, I really, really want to have a career because I'm going to be a highly successful career person, then me saying, okay, so start your own business shouldn't be this, like, insurmountable hurdle to you.
Sure.
So those two, like saying that you don't want to do the self-employment thing is somewhat in conflict with your claim that your career is, you know, all this important.
Well, I'm going to say it depends, because most self-employed individuals aren't the big, you know, multi-million dollar making CEOs.
Most people aren't either. So it's also this weird delusion that like all women are going to be in like the top 10% of career earners. Which is just not the case due to the fact that they're 50% of the population. So they're kind of ruled out by basic math there. Like, most women are going to have average jobs because by definition, most people are going to have median jobs.
There's more coming up here. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And according to the summary here of the book, it does say that she wants to see more surrogacy rather than less. So, I mean, the book's title is Full Surrogacy Now. I think that's the direction she wants to go. Not that she would prohibit you from having a baby, but maybe she... Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com. Free Talk Live. You bring up what you want, take control of the airwaves. Our number is 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-3733. And you can join us online over at freetalklive.com. On our Discord server as well at discord.lrn.fm. Joining you tonight, it's Ian.
Richie Rich.
And Melanie.
We can talk more about commies and the family coming up here in a moment. But first, I do want to make sure you know about the new book that is available for free to you, The CFO Project. It's called The Family Money Farm, The CFO Project. You can get your free copy at cfo-project.com. It's Tom Young, the author and founder of The CFO Project, and he can show you how to be debt-free in 9 years or less, including your mortgage, without spending a single dollar more. With the current state of federal debt at $23 trillion and the unfunded liabilities at $127 trillion, you can't wait to take control of your money. Don't let your retirement savings be used to bail out the government. So Tom can show you how to create strategies now to save money without penalties and as little government involvement as possible. The new book, The Family Money Farm, The CFO Project, will show you exactly how to build wealth and eliminate debt at the same time. You can get your free copy at cfo-project.com. Invest in yourself and your family today. That's cfo-project.com. We go to Uganda, where Musige is on the line with us. Musige, thanks for calling in tonight. I know you tried last night, but it was a bad internet connection. You moved to your office tonight, and it's sounding a lot better, so welcome.
Thank you, Ian, for this wonderful opportunity to talk to the community of libertarians.
Thank you for staying up late. What time is it there in Uganda?
It is early in the morning at 5:35.
5:35 in the morning.
People do get up that early.
Yes. Yes.
So what were you calling to share with us tonight?
I've called to say about liberty in Uganda and actually what exactly we do about promoting liberty.
Okay. Promoting liberty. All right. I like
yes.
that.
Yes. Yes, please.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
So... Yeah, I'm called Mesige Joram. I'm the Administrative Officer, Action for Liberty and Economic Development. Action for Liberty and Economic Development is a libertarian think tank which promotes ideas of libertarianism.
In Uganda specifically?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We promote limited government, individual liberty, property rights, and free market.
Excellent.
And rule of law. Yeah, we do this through conferences, camps, media briefing, and social media.
How's the reception?
And our biggest audience are students and young people.
Nice.
Great.
From various regions of this country.
So how's the reception to the ideas in Uganda when you pitch them and tell people about the ideas of liberty?
The reception about... Liberty, of course, you know, Uganda is a kind of country that is socialist, and the government, of course, is all about power, not serving people. Of course, when the government is about power, the liberty, people's liberty is always infringed on.
Yep.
So when people are always, they always want to get out of that situation where government is standing in their lives. So when some young people, of course, are receptive to the ideas of a free society.
I'm so glad to hear that. That's nice. That's nice to know. So, what's your story, Mwesige? How did you become where you are today? How did you become liberty minded? Oh no! It was going
so good.
In
government, man.
It was going
not
so
let
good.
It happen.
We lost a few of your packets there. Can you say that again? Shoot. It's gone bad. It's gone real bad. Oh man, it was an interesting.
Yes,
sir. Oh, we have you. I think we have you back. Go ahead.
You have me back.
Yep, we have you back. So, yeah, what's your story?
Yes, I became an activist in 2014 when I joined the university. By then, I was an ardent socialist. Of course, I didn't know there is that kind of liberty someone should advocate for.
So you were in college. You were an ardent socialist in college. What was it that
in Uganda, or was he studying abroad?
Yes, in Uganda, I didn't know that I was actually a socialist, but I was an acting for a kind of like a welfare state,
mm-hmm.
collectivism kind of things in public goods. When I don't know who produced those things and how the wealth of the nation is created and is created by who. When I encountered the Student for Liberty in 2014, my perception about the kind of liberty I should advocate for changed dramatically when I started reading literature about the economics and ideas related to libertarianism.
So as the Students for Liberty,
that's impressive,
in Uganda that you encountered, where did you meet these folks? Was it just randomly on the college campus? How did that happen?
Yes, that time they visited, there is a gentleman from Nigeria who introduced it to Uganda, who is one of the activists in Uganda who had assumed the leadership of the university, who was an activist, Mugabe John. When they introduced it, so they invited me actually to attend as an activist. I was actually from the prison then because we had taken pigs to parliament to demonstrate against the greedy parliament. So they invited me to attend. And dramatically, I saw things changing, and what exactly I was fighting, advocating for. Of course, I changed. I started to advocate for individual liberty instead of advocating for what the government wanted. Of course, the government wanted a kind of socialist, a kind of socialist system. So I went back and started zeroing down to read and also look at an individual as an epitome of the society. Yeah.
There is a bit of a language barrier here between, I couldn't quite understand all of what you said, and it may also be because of the distance. But
I think I got the idea.
It sounded like you encountered the Students for Liberty while you were at college. You had been a critic of, even as a socialist, you were a critic of Parliament, but somehow they were able to convert you to understanding the ideas of individual liberty, and that's what I didn't understand.
I cannot get you here. Pardon? That question.
He might not be hearing us now.
Yeah, maybe there's some difficulty with the connection. I'm wondering, are you going to...
I can hear you.
You cannot, or you can hear me? Yeah, I think our connection's gone bad, but I'm sure we'll hear from you again. Masige, thank you for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. It is good to get an introduction from you here tonight, and I'm glad that you're out there doing what you do in Uganda, and thank you for making that phone call. Let's go all the way to the other side of the planet where Mark Edge is on the line in Saipan. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. That was an interesting call from Masige. I wish that the packets hadn't been lost, but, that's kind of the way things go, calling from the other side of the world.
Yes.
I was listening to you guys talk about this, frankly, very interesting thought experiment this woman had as far as, surrogacy and these sorts of things. Everybody should have children that aren't their own because we need to break this paradigm called family. And I just wonder what kind of terrible thing happened in this woman's youth that made it so that she wants to destroy not just her family, but every family.
Hmm.
There's not many things that you can sort of look at as far as humans, but one thing you can say about us that's sort of certainly true is that we place a higher emphasis on the relationship that is family than sort of any other relationship.
Well, in her case, it might not have been something that happened to her as a child or in a family, because she related it more to the idea of she couldn't progress her career because the family was holding her back in some way, right? So maybe it was that maybe something happened in a work-related thing where she was, not given a promotion or not granted a job or didn't get the pay that she wanted.
I've never had, emotional symptoms from that, though. It's like when I go to work, it's for money and... I want if I'm going to have a job, I want one where I get treated well, but I don't have like a relationship with my employers.
Well, that kind of jealousy of, and Mark, if you want to say more here, stand by. The jealousy that you hear from a lot of the people in the communist socialist movement of people who have more wealth than they do came out in her comments, saying that certain families were wealthier and she didn't think that was fair, right? So she wants all the wealth to be pooled together to help the other kids.
Maybe she lost a promotion to an Ivy League grade.
There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. You bring up anything you want here in the remaining moments. We may have time to get you on if you dial in now. Our number 855-450-FREE. By the way, Masige is the guy who was on the phone earlier on our Discord server, is in the Discord chat right now. So if you want to talk to him directly, it's obviously easier to talk over text from Uganda than it is
hard to drop a packet.
Yeah, with exactly. The text is going to make it through. So folks are over there right now at the Discord server at discord.lrn.fm. Hey, don't forget to check out more of Richie on his show, The Anarchist Experience.
Anarchistexperience.com.
You had Ken Schoolin on recently?
We did. We talked to Ken yesterday when we recorded the podcast, and I may have convinced him to forego voting in the national election.
Well, that'll shut it all down. Congratulations.
It's impressive because he's like, he's a hardcore voter, man. And, you know, he bought into the argument that I presented.
All right. So, you can hear that for yourself at The Anarchist Experience. Go download the podcast episodes at anarchistexperience.com. As we go back to your calls and thoughts here, Mark Edge, our co-host in the Mariana Islands, calling us from Saipan tonight, comments on the story that basically has been our only story that we've covered here tonight, this commie who wrote a book called Full Surrogacy Now. You okay there, Mark? Did you just kill a mouse? What was that?
It's a native.
The window that I was opening. I knew I shouldn't have done it.
Okay. Anyway, go ahead. What about the commies?
Right now, I'm thinking, I want to hear Richie Rich's argument that I shouldn't be voting, for God's sake.
Oh, no. We don't need to rehash that.
No, go listen to the podcast, anarchistexperience.com.
We're not
I think you should bring me on so that you can convince me, Richie.
Okay.
You want to have him? You mean you think he should bring you on to The Anarchist Experience? That's what you're saying?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah,
Mark
okay.
is inviting himself.
I'll reach out to you.
Okay, very good. That's always an awkward thing. So, I think you should bring me on your show. Okay. Well.
Hey, Kokesh gave me the same invitation, yeah. Ran it by the co-host.
All right, cool. All right, go ahead.
I'm curious about this lady and her surrogacy thing. I think I really do think she came up with an idea that hasn't really been proffered very much. And I love unique ideas.
Well, no, this idea is all throughout communist dystopian literature, and it's alluded to in the Communist Manifesto.
Yeah, it's also in Huxley's Brave New World, but I mean, I haven't heard anybody talk about it in a long time. The idea that people, you know, having other people's children and all that stuff. And because one of the things it asks this question, right? So if I have somebody else's, if my family has somebody else's child, we give it up, right? Or do we keep it and raise it?
I would think it would be raised by society. So it's not like you have it and then it's yours to keep. It's that you're the temporary surrogate for whatever role you perform at that time.
Okay, I think the idea is to get rid of just those statuses. She doesn't go into this in the article. I don't know if she does in the book or not, or at least she's not quoted as going into because she didn't write this article. But I don't think it's about like IFV babies and adoption. It's about just destroying the concept of a family. So it's just society being at the end of the day, she wants to get paid for being pregnant and having kids, which there's a way to do that, by the way, but
hire a big strong man.
She doesn't like that way, so she thinks that she's doing society a favor by having a kid, so she wants to be paid by society. But then
she may be right that she's doing society a favor. I don't know. Society's poorly represented by this organization known as government. And she's certainly doing government a favor in creating a new tax livestock.
Well, I mean, if she's a communist, she's not doing society a favor by creating more communists. which is usually how it goes.
Communists believe that the road to communism and freedom is through taxation and socialism, at least the Marxists do. There's anarchist communists out there, people who use this term anarchist to describe themselves. They're communists that believe the path through to communism can go from right where we are today, and you don't need that other stuff. But as the case may be, I grew up in a family where I was not related to the two people that raised me. And I am here to say that those people considered me their child. And I don't think that a family is entirely a nature situation. It's also a nurture situation. So this article made me wonder sort of who else in my life do I think of as family? Would I take care of if they were ill? Would I give money to the way I would give money to my wife? Like if my wife needs money, I don't say you're going to have to pay it back or anything like that. There's simply no accounting. You know, like we have a pool of money and she takes money from that pool. And
oh, I'm sure this woman wants to get rid of money as well. I mean, we just didn't get that part of her book or whatever.
But money is a stand-in for previous labor. So, you know, but
or resources of any kind
either. What's that?
Well, yeah, I mean,
resources of any kind.
Of course, the commie doesn't like work and doesn't like money. I mean, these are typical views of the communists, right?
They are. Yeah. Communists. The reason we're pretty well off is they are lazy. know? the socialists, on the other hand, they get jobs in the government because that's what they totally believe in.
And so you do the job the government gives you.
Well, yes, but they all do the jobs they want to do within the government and then assign you your jobs because you didn't get in early enough or whatever their thoughts are.
Mark, any other thoughts?
I do think that yes, I think that everybody should sort of ask themselves, what distinguishes your relationship between your family and just ordinary people out there? What makes you love them the way you do? Is it time? Is it biological? What is it? So that's my question.
Thanks for the call tonight. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Hank. He's in Ocala, Florida. Says he's listening on 97.3 The Sky, which is, to my knowledge, not an affiliate. Are you actually listening on the radio, Hank?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
I may have tuned to the other station, 96.3.
All right.
I just realized that.
I didn't even know that we were on that one either. So good to know. Whichever one we're on, it's nice to know.
208.
It's nice to know we're on in Ocala. All right, Hank, what's on your mind tonight?
Okay, yeah, I was getting you on 96.3.
96.3, all right.
I just don't understand this fascination with the young people and the socialism. I mean, this country's founded on capitalism. You know, I'm a small businessman, been an entrepreneur all my life, never made a fortune, barely sometimes feed myself. But as I got older, I learned how to make enough to eat pretty good. But I mean,
let me take a stab at answering that question, because I seen an argument for it and I'm not convinced that it's a good thing, but I hear the argument. So the young people today see what the argument that I saw called boomer socialism. Right, they see the older generation get the free things. Right, they're on Medicare, so they have free health care or cheap health care. They're on Social Security, so they have universal basic income. Basically, they get a check for not doing any work, and yet they've established themselves in the world. That they own their homes, they own their property, they don't have any debts left because they're old. And the younger generation goes like, well, how come socialism is okay for the older generation with health care, with finances, with property, and it's not okay with the younger generation?
I'm not to that age that I collect any benefits yet, and there's a lot of people that don't collect the benefits. There's a lot of people that never lived to collect those benefits, because I know closer I get to my, what they call, elder years or retirement age, a lot of my friends are passing away really fast. And they'll never live to get a penny off Social Security or a penny off.
Sure.
But it seems
which is even more sad because they paid into it for so
capitalism
long.
Capitalism is the freedom. Without capitalism, we don't have companies like SpaceX. We don't have Apple. Why do you think these companies don't exist nowhere else in the world? Because they're
freedom. Well, Hank, like the free market. Personally, that's what I'm all about. I like freedom. I think that you should be free to do what you want as long as you, you know, don't harm somebody else. And so if that's to be a capitalist, then I think you should be free to be a capitalist. I think that's great. I think if somebody wants to go and start a commune, they should be able to do that as long as that's a voluntary, consensual thing. They're not forcing anyone to do it. But I'd like to answer your question that you called in with. From my perspective, don't forget the government runs the schools. And most of these teachers are socialists.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
Yeah, so that's where this comes from. A lot of these young people are being being indoctrinated, Hank, by socialists into socialism. They're kids, so they don't have any experience in the real world. They don't know anything about reality and what, you know, running a business is like or anything like that. And they got all these politicians around them, like, you know, Bernie Sanders, promising them free stuff. They're like, yeah, I'll take a free college. I'll take a free this, free that.
Why not?
Because they don't know any better. That's really the problem. Hank, I wish we had more time. Thanks for calling in. Says he's listening to WOCA there. I'll have to give them a call and find out what's going on. Good to know we're on. See you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com. On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important issues years ago.
To random people tuning in on the radio.
I was kind of stuck in the left-right paradigm. I heard your show by chance on a Saturday night. From there, I went on, joined the Free State Project and become an amplifier. So, I mean, that's really the reason why I amp is because I know that if it wasn't for you guys being on as many stations as you are, I never would have found the ideas of liberty.
Your amp will directly change more lives by getting Free Talk Live in front of people looking for talk radio online and on the air. You can help by joining the AMP program for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com and getting perks. That's amp.freetalklive.com.